from the hopes that I could make things better for someone else, if not always for me. Somewhere in all of that, I touched on something that wasn't tapped out. In spite of how horrible the past few days had been, something that hadn't gone cold or numb inside of me. I grasped it, held it in my hand like a firefly, and willed its energy out into the circle I had created with a spinning amulet on the end of its chain. It began to glow, azure blue like a candle flame. The light spread down the chain and to the amulet, and when it reached it, the light became incandescent. A pentacle of bright light at the end of the chain, spinning a circle of light around me, trailing motes of dust that fell like starlight onto the grass around me. Vento, I whispered, and then called more loudly. Vento servitas! Ventas, vento servitas! In the bushes, the loup-garou snarled quietly, and its eyes brightened, burned with scarlet fury. It started moving toward me. Without warning, Murphy stepped between me and the loup-garou, her gun held in both hands in a shooter's stance, though the cast made that awkward. She held her gun pointed directly at me. Harry, she said in a very calm tone, get down on the ground right now. My eyes widened. I could see over Murphy. I could see the loup-garou moving rapidly toward her through the trees. I saw it focus on her, felt its malice and hunger spread toward her and envelop her. I couldn't speak. I couldn't break the chant or stop whirling the amulet. To do so would have released the energy I'd gathered, the very last strength I had in me. My head hammered with pain that would have had me screaming on any other night. I kept the amulet whirling, spraying motes of light, brilliant white pentacle at the end of a leash of blue light. I mean it, Harry, Murphy said. I don't know what you're doing, but get down. Her eyes were intense, and she lifted the gun, thumbing back the hammer. Trust. Whatever trust she had in me was gone. She'd seen or thought of something that made her think I was going to betray her. The loup-garou rushed closer, and I thought, with a sick feeling in my stomach, that Susan and the Alphas hadn't even had time to make it off the estate yet, much less all the way back to the van. If the loup-garou got through me, it would kill them, one by one, follow their trail like a hound, and tear them apart. Harry, Murphy said, her voice pleading. Her hand was shaking. Please, Harry, get down. The loup-garou came through the woods in a sudden rush, and Murphy drew in a breath, ready to fire. I kept the amulet whirling and felt the power grow, my head splitting with agony, and made my choice. I just hoped I could finish the job before Murphy gunned me down. Everything of the last few days came down to that single instant. It all slowed down, giving me time to view it in agonizing detail. The loup-garou rose up behind Murphy, leaping toward her through the air. It was still huge, still powerful, and more terrifying than ever. Its jaws were open, aimed for her blonde head, and would crush it with a single snap. Murphy narrowed her eyes, peering down the shaking barrel of her gun. Flame blossomed from the barrel, reaching out toward me. She wasn't 20 feet away from me. I didn't think there was any way she could miss, and I thought, with a pang of sadness, that I wanted a chance to apologize to her before the end, for everything. Vento servitas, I shouted, and released the spell, the circle and the amulet, as the sound of the shot hit me like a slap in the face. Power rushed out of me, everything I had left in me, focused and magnified by the circle and the time I'd taken to refine it, flying toward the leaping loup-garou. Something hot and painful hammered into my torso, almost like it had hit my back. I toppled forward, too weak and tired to care anymore, but I watched what happened to the amulet. The pentacle flew toward the loup-garou like a comet, incandescent white, and struck the creature's breast like lightning hammered into an ancient tree. There was a flash of light, too much power unleashed in a flaring of energy as a mystic substance shattered the loup-garou's invulnerability, carved into it, coursed through it in a blinding blue and white shower of sparks. Blue fire erupted from its chest, its black heart's blood igniting into blinding flame, and the creature screamed, arching backward in agony. There was the sound of thunder, flashes of more light, someone screaming. Maybe it was me. The loop guru fell to earth and changed. Muzzle melted back into human face, fangs and claws faded, warped muscles slithered away into gobs of clear, preternatural ooze that would quickly vanish. Fur disappeared, knotted limbs straightened into clean arms and legs, until Harley McFinn lay before me, partly on his side, one hand pressed to his heart. The silver of my amulet's chain spilled out between his fingers and dangled down his chest. He stared down at the wound for a moment, and then I saw him relax. McFinn looked up, and in his face I saw all the grief and agony and impotent rage, everything he'd felt during the years of being unable to control himself. Cursed to cause death and destruction when all he wanted was to open a park for the wildlife. It all flooded out of him. His eyes cleared and warmed as he looked at me, and he gave me a small, quiet smile. It was an expression of forgiveness, something to let me know that he understood. And then he laid his head down and was gone. My own blackness followed soon after.